can see, I'm not Nancy, but she's the better half of the family, and so she's down with the children, and so she asked me if I would read this morning, so I'll do my best. It's on, okay. We're going to read from Colossians this morning, the first chapter, verses 15 through 25, 23. So if you want to follow along, I think it's up here. We'll begin with verse 15. The supremacy of Christ. He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Excuse me. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy and in his sight without blameless and free of accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held in the gospel, but is the gospel that you heard and that you have proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of all which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Amen. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to have Colossians in our midst. Now I simply ask that you be the one that speaks and take me out of your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have 20 minutes to tell you about Jesus. And if you were to take all of the books, and all of the articles, and all of the journals, all of the websites dedicated to Jesus, they would number in the thousands, maybe the hundreds of thousands. And then if you take the pages that are there, you would now be in the millions. And I have 20 minutes, a little less than 20 minutes, to make all of this make sense. So where do I begin? I guess I decided I'm going to begin here after a lot of thought and a lot of prayer. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Next verse. Jesus loves me, and I pray, he will keep me till that day. Keep me standing true and strong, singing heaven's playful song. Next verse. Jesus loves me, may I be ever faithful, knowing he walks beside me every day, shines his light along the way. Now the last verse. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. If I love him when I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. That's the song. We learn that as children. We learn it over and over again as children. The whole story of what we believe about Jesus is found there. The gospel about Jesus is in the song of a child. Or maybe perhaps if I were to tell you about Jesus, I would simply go to Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus is on a retreat with his disciples, and they would begin talking, and he would say to them, "Tell me, who do people say that I am?" Well, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Oh, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father. And I tell you that you are Peter." By the way, anybody know what Peter means? Rock. Actually, it means pebble. Your name is Pebble. "And on this pebble I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth, you loosed in heaven." And then, or maybe I would take you to the most famous Bible verse of all, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Or maybe I would take you to the other song that is found in Philippians chapter 2. We talked about that in Sunday school a little bit. You know, in the Bible, in Bible times, not everybody was literate. They weren't, not everyone. Illiteracy wasn't common, but literacy was not even universal. So if you're going to learn something, you're going to learn it how? You're going to bring a song. Well, this song is here. This is about Jesus, who, in being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. And taking the very nature of a servant, he became in human likeness. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Those are some places I could take you. And all of that would take a little explaining as well. But this morning I decided to take you into Colossians, to another song in the early church. And it's one that Paul found, and he wanted right away for his friends in the church to understand what it was he and Jesus were about. I'm going to take you, now Marv started at verse 15. I'm going to back up two verses, and I want to start here. And this is what Jesus has done, and what God has done through Jesus. If you want to know about Jesus, one of the things that he has done is that we call him our Savior. How many are familiar with the term, Savior? One of the questions is, if he's our Savior, what's the question that comes? We are being saved from what? You know, we think, from sin. And what is sin? Well, if you're in confirmation, sin is all word, thought, and deed, which is contrary to the will of God, which you're going, I don't really understand that. It is everything that causes harm. It is everything that causes any kind of pain. Sin. It's contrary. It's against all that God desires. Sin is something that God does not desire. Verse 13. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Jesus, because in him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus, God rescued us from our own foolishness. God rescued us from our own self-centered, warped foolishness. When you ever think about sin, very seldom is it deeply intelligent. Deeply, we don't think about it. Think about the sins that have been committed against you. They're goofy. Words that are spoken, actions that are done, pain that is inflicted, thoughtlessness, selfishness. These are not things that are all that bright. But we have been saved, redeemed, purchased. God has brought us home in Jesus, and He has forgiven us our sins. He has forgiven our sins. How many of you, if you're a parent, I want you to go back and remember your children in grades 7, 8, and 9. Remember 7, 8, and 9? That time when they are, or go back to 6th grade. How many have had a 6th grader in their house? How many thought, I did not want this 6th grader in my house? This 6th grader is an unpleasant, smelly creature. It has, and how many of you thought, we taught our child to talk way too quickly? Because now they talk back. You know, we think about the things that we do. God, how many times have you forgiven your children? How many times have you forgiven your children? You're going to do it over and over and over and over and over again. We forgive them repeatedly. That's what Jesus does. He allows us to be forgiven. He understands that we fail. He understands we do silly things. He understands we do cruel things. We are forgiven. This is what Jesus did because of who He is. I love verse number 15. He is the image of the invisible God. That's what I was trying to get across to the kids. Jesus lets us see God. Not in height, not in weight, not in hair color or eye color. Not whether God is left-handed or right-handed, but He lets us see God in His character, in His nurture. He lets us see God in His behavior. God is somebody who goes around and has conversations with people that nobody else is interested in. God is the type of individual who will come and spend time with people who are lost. He tells us that God is the one that searches for us and will never quit looking until we are found. Jesus tells us that God is the one who values us above all. God is the one who hides something and says, if you come looking for me, and even if you sell everything, you'll have more than you ever imagined. He is the image of the invisible God. He is also the firstborn over all creation. You're thinking, what does that mean? It means that Jesus was before any of us were around. This is where it gets a little weird. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We'll go back a week before that. Before there's time, before there is light, before there is anything, there was Jesus. In union, in compatibility, in relationship with the Father, He is there. He is the co-creator with Jesus, with God, I should say. He has always been. He is God's firstborn. Anybody here firstborn? I am. I have a brother who's 10 and a half months younger, and I never let him forget it. I am the firstborn. Firstborn, right off the bat. First one out, first one there. Just better by natural. Jesus is the one. He wasn't created. He is God's Son. We are created. Jesus was. He is firstborn over all creation, and by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by Him. What you need to know about Jesus is that not only does He let us know what God is like, but if you want to know about Jesus, He is the one who helped create everything there is. You look over at the bay, by Jesus. You look at flowers, by Jesus. You look at that beautiful child you have, by Jesus. Everything we have, whether it's authority, whether it exists, whether we can see it or whether we cannot, whether it's within our reach or beyond our capacity to see, He created it. By all things, He was created. The other thing you need to know about Jesus is this. He is the one thing that is always greater. in every direction, dimension, or concept. We have a word. He is supreme. He has supremacy. He is better, stronger, more magnificent. He is the one that holds everything together. Look what it says in verse number 17. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. He is what makes reality work. He is not just somebody on the cross, but he is the one that lets all creation function. He holds us together. He precedes creation. He holds it together. He is above, beyond, and greater than anything we can imagine. That's Jesus. Sometimes our pictures of Jesus, we have him looking like the guy down the street. You know, we have that picture of Warner Salmon with his long, flowing locks. You know, I got news for you. That's been around since the mid-50s. If Jesus had walked into any church I'd gone to, any covenant church, the first thing they would have said, welcome. The second thing is, get a haircut. I don't know why Warner Salmon. And then you've got that great picture of Jesus with kind of the raggy beard and the kind of like crayon drawing of Jesus. And then you've got all these pictures of Jesus. They look like the guy down the street. That's only part of the image. He is also a cosmological being who stands side by side with God in creation, and he holds it all together. He is also the head of the church. He is the head of the church. We're here because of Jesus. I'm not the head of the church. Mark's not the head of the church. Jesus is the one who holds this church together. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. It will always be Jesus. Why? He is the firstborn and the beginning from among the dead. In other words, he is the first one to raise from the dead. He's the first one to raise from the dead. On that day, which you and I celebrate as Easter, Jesus rose from the dead, and Paul tells us he is just the beginning. There is a thing called, I don't know, how many of you ever, do you ever use the term first fruits in your business? Nobody uses that. But the idea of first fruits are, this is a guarantee, it's a down payment. This is just the beginning. Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead, and he was the guarantee that more would come. He is coming. He was resurrected, and he is the firstborn, so that in everything he might have supremacy. There's none greater than Jesus. None greater than Jesus. Remember, I read that thing, that every knee should bow, every tongue confess, on heaven and earth and under the earth, that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is second to none. If you want to know about Jesus, there simply is no equal. There is no equal. Everything stands at his feet. Verse 19 and 20, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. In other words, God said, you are who I am. You are who I am. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to the little ones about how I look like my dad. It gets weirder every day. It gets weirder every day. Do you find yourself talking like your parents? Do you ever find, like, it's not fair to point. You know, my wife likes to point out when she calls them Bobisms. My dad has a propensity to tell really, really bad jokes. I just thank Jesus I did not inherit that. And he'll answer the phone a certain way, and I'll answer the phone, and Sue says, stop it. I didn't marry your dad. I said, okay. Stop it. You are becoming more like your father every day. Like, that's a bad thing? You know, I think my dad's pretty cool. You know? But she, it's right. You know, I have to be me. All the fullness of God. All of his nature, power, all of his character is poured into Jesus. Why? He's his son. It's natural. And in him, God brought everyone home. That's what the word reconcile means, to bring home, to build a bridge, to be back together. Through him, everything is reconciled. Whether on earth or under the earth or wherever, in heaven, wherever. Why? Because he died on the cross. He made peace with God through the blood. He died on the cross. That's what you and I have in Jesus. You and I have this new life because of what he's done. We have a new relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus has done. It's not that I'm so wonderful or you're so wonderful. It's the love of God, for God so loved the world. We have this. And then it goes on. You know, once we were enemies with God. Verse number 21, we were alienated. We were enemies with God because of our behavior. We're home again because of Christ's physical body. Because of his death, we now get to be in the house of God. We get to come home. We get to come home. And here's the thing. Because of Jesus, look what it says at the end of verse 22. I don't have a blemish. I don't have an accusation. I come home and I'm just welcomed. Perfect. Beloved. I'm with him. Verse 23 talks about an interesting little thing. If you continue in your faith, established and firmed, don't move from the hope held out for the gospel. You and I have to keep going. You and I have to stay on course following Jesus. We're not done yet. The Bible repeatedly talks about finishing the race, running the entire course, doing everything that is asking. He uses words like endure, persevere, keep coming, overcoming. In other words, we just don't get to sit on our laurels and do nothing. We have to not only know Jesus, but we have to follow Jesus. We have to know the ones that we're following. We have to be able to be with him. We have to listen to him and obey him. In other words, we have to keep our faith going. It's not going to be easy. But his strength is our strength. His strength comes from the Father. We are given all these gifts by a generous God. And when you leave here this morning, we know that it's just the beginning. I know who Jesus is. I can find him in the Word. I can find him in the Gospels. I can find him in Paul's letters. I can find him all over. And the thing I know best is one of the things I learned first. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Because the Bible tells me so. Amen? Amen? Amen.
Will you stand and join us for our closing song? Harken back to your Sunday school days. We're going to sing Jesus Loves the Little Children.